Well, Hare Krishna, we're back to questions and answers here, and I was just opening up my list of questions, but I came across someone's name caught my eye. It was a Sugita Vani Devi Das, and it was such a nice name. I read her question, and so I'm answering that question, although it only came in yesterday, 2nd of June. Sugita Vani Devi Dasi. Sugita means very beautiful song. The Vani, the instructions that come through beautiful songs, just like Bhagavad Gita. Krishna speaking of Bhagavad Gita, how the beautiful instructions of the Lord come to Arjuna by his very poetic and melodic words. Okay, anyway, so she writes, in your Shiksha outside ISKCON, you wrote that the Diksha Guru is the most important figure in the disciple's life, at least in principle or theory. In a footnote, you added, you say that due to gurus traveling widely and spending little time in their zone, this principle would get compromised. In this situation, it seems that disciples have got one of two options. One, to take Shiksha from other qualified persons inside ISKCON who may come in the long run to matter more to the disciple than the Diksha Guru. And two, to avoid taking Shiksha from other qualified persons in order to somehow or other maintain the principle that the Diksha Guru is and must remain the most important figure in the disciple's life. This can even bring about stagnation in spiritual life. Which of these is the better of the two? The first one. The first one is the better of the two, to take Shiksha from senior devotee or devotees. This topic I also discuss in the Shiksha Guru, and it's something that I feel strongly about, and I think I perceive that generally devotees are coming to more and more in agreement with. Well, not that there weren't devotees who were in agreement. There were many devotees who also have that same vision. However, even in our organizational development subcommittee, we are working on the concept that GBCs, as well as gurus, should have geographically contiguous areas, more or less, so that they actually give proper attention to their areas of responsibility, be that in instructing disciples or guiding devotees in spreading Krishna consciousness, or both. So yes, it may be that Vaishnavas or Vaishnavis don't have sufficient access to their spiritual master, either by his physical presence or by communicating to him through correspondence, internet, and so on, that they actually feel nourished in their spiritual lives. In a situation where devotees are fully engaged in a temple or live very closely and around the temple, I would expect that the senior devotees, temple managers, temple presidents, and others could certainly serve that role of giving spiritual nourishment. In addition to that setup, in places, just like here in Hungary, we're trying to emulate the counselor system of Chaupati, and as is done in other places, wherever devotees may be, whether it's near or distant from a temple, if they're part of a counselor system where devotees help educate each other, support each other, give each other association for advancement in spiritual life, then devotees may feel sufficiently spiritually nurtured that their traveling Diksha Guru that the traveling of their Diksha Guru does not particularly impede their spiritual advancement. But it's an individual affair. It will vary from person to person. When devotees really feel, I really want to have, need that type of physical presence, I need to see not only my mentor or some other senior Vaishnav, but someone actually in a capacity of guru in my life. That gives me more association than getting from the Diksha Guru, then certainly there's no harm. In fact, it should be done. Our system of spiritual advancement, of devotees receiving guidance from their spiritual masters, is not a possessive one. A disciple is not the property of his Diksha Guru. A disciple is and has been accepted by the Diksha Guru as a service to Krishna, as a service to help that devotee advance in spiritual life and come closer and closer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And whatever means that takes, sadhu sangha is an imperative aspect of that spiritual advancement. And when that sadhu sangha manifests in a form where devotees feel especially enthused and inspired to the extent of accepting someone in the same category as guru, then that's fine. There's no sense of betrayal. In spiritual life, things don't work like that. For instance, just because I love Balaram doesn't mean I love Krishna less. Just because I sing the Shingadev prayers every day doesn't mean that I've betrayed Krishna. In spiritual circles, we want to increase the circle of love. We don't want to restrict it. And we want to increase our fidelity to the Vaishnav Sangha, to the association of Vaishnavas. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. The other alternative, no, we should stick to the principle that under all circumstances, the guru is the most important person, and I would be betraying my spiritual master if I also allowed my heart to go out to someone else, is wrong. It's wrong because that principle that the guru is generally the mainstay of a devotee's spiritual life is based on the principle that the guru is the person who gives, the Diksha Guru is the person who gives that devotee most instruction. But if that principle is not being followed, then the superior or the overriding principle is yadgyatu anapunar moham evam yashasi pandava, is that we must be able to see Krishna everywhere. Our affection for Krishna must be able to increase, and one day gurun, and therefore Shastra refers often to gurus also in the plural. It's not simply a singular matter. It's not a matter of possessiveness, especially not this thing about the disciple being the property of a one spiritual master. Nonetheless, such things as formally accepting someone else as a Shiksha Guru, it should be done with the knowledge and permission of the Diksha Guru. It shouldn't be done whimsically. Nothing should be done whimsically. In the same way that we don't whimsically accept a Diksha Guru, we don't whimsically accept Shiksha Gurus. And may that relationship with the Shiksha Guru become more prominent in the person's life. It may. It may. And that Shiksha Guru, but it may mean that later on, perhaps that Shiksha Guru may also leave this world. Or it may be that Shiksha may come from some other further personality later on, and that person may take even more prominence. And of course, what to speak of the Shiksha Guru, but often we see that just, for instance, I'm here in Hungary. I have many devotees, I could say disciples, who are initiated by other spiritual masters, because I'm the one who resides here more or less all of the time. A natural relationship develops with those devotees. Sometimes it never goes any further than that. We have a natural relationship by presence. Sometimes devotees, they ask to call me Guru Maharaj, and they want me to ask in the act, in the capacity of Shiksha Guru, and with the permission of their own Diksha Gurus, then that's what happens. In some circumstances, it's both being clear and verbalized that just because that's the way things have developed, the relationship with the Shiksha Guru has become more prominent than that with the Diksha Guru. That's also all right. It shouldn't be something that's condemned. And even though I'm here in Hungary, but still there's another phenomenon that takes place. And that other phenomenon is that there are other senior devotees who have much more input into devotees' spiritual lives on a daily basis than I do. Now I'm talking about here in Hungary. And as a result of that, devotees also consider them to be their spiritual masters and mentors. Perhaps they call them more mentors, but they have great regard and respect for them, because those devotees put so much time and energy and give them so much assistance, which even I'm no longer able to do, because although devotees can see me in classes and festivals, although in the last year of marathoning on Namba Vajra Mahima, that's really been sort of curtailed. One-on-one, I can't deal with one-on-one anymore here in Hungary for everyone, because there's just too many devotees. So once again, we see that another level of affection, dependence, and assistance grows out with other devotees, and that's also fine. Just as a last word, how did all this come about? And for many devotees, it may have been before they've come to Krishna consciousness, that when Srila Prabhupada left this world, although the indication, and I also believe that that was Srila Prabhupada's desire from what I've read, from what my discussions with Tamal Krishna Maharaj were, that Srila Prabhupada's desire was that he empowered 11 devotees, and that to give initiation, that could be increased later on, and that devotees would accept initiation from those who are nearest. Prabhupada mentioned that word. Why? For all the reasons I've mentioned, because it's natural. Unfortunately, what happened is that that became a compulsory phenomenon. And once again, you cannot force. The devotees were forced. You have to take from this one. You can't take from another one. And that was unfavorable. And therefore, at a certain stage later on in the 80s, that was changed. And it was deregularized, you could say, that no, you don't have to take from the local person. But the end result is what we have now, is that very often there are no local persons initiating, and devotees are taking initiation from Vaishnavas whom they see very little. what to do. That's how it's developed at present. And as I mentioned earlier, there is a committee working on, once again, sort of having contiguous considerations in terms of GBC responsibilities, in terms of Diksha responsibilities. Why? Because it's natural. It does justice to what devotees are accepting the spiritual master for, which is to get Shiksha. Who is the Diksha Guru? Srila Prabhupada points out, generally the person from whom one gets the greatest amount of Shiksha. Unfortunately, devotees don't consider that well when they accept a Diksha Guru, when they have an alternative. When they don't have an alternative, and there is no local Diksha Guru who is giving the most Shiksha, then what can be done? But that is the overriding principle to which this other principle, that the Diksha Guru becomes the main person in one's spiritual life, is subordinate, and it's dependent on that. Yes, that principle works when one has accepted a Shiksha Guru who is always giving one Shiksha, one has accepted a Diksha Guru on the basis of that Shiksha Guru who's always giving one most Shiksha. And if it continues like that, if you're always getting Shiksha from that prominent person, then it's natural that they become the main person in your life. Although, even then, there may be circumstances in which that changes, and there are many scriptural and historical evidences to the same. So, yes, let's increase the circle of Shiksha, affection, allegiance to each other. There's no bar. The restriction is, as was mentioned here, it needs to stay within Srila Prabhupada's family. It needs to stay inside of ISKCON. And I won't get into that discussion any further. But that is what Srila Prabhupada wanted. Hare Krishna.